Hello, everyone. It's Elijah David Mills of 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary Congregation, now south of 12th Hour. Hello, today is September the 14th, 2025, or it's the 23rd day of Elul, 2029. We'll start our first service today with Tommy Greetings, Volume 1, number 45, entitled The Mighty Esau's and the Unpretentious Jacob's. Prayer service taken from the Mount of Blessings, 209, L.G. White, a mere profession of the discipleship is of no value. They believe that does not lead to the obedience is presumption. For the Apostle John said, He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That none cherish. The idea that special providences are miraculous manifestations are to be the proof of the genuineness of their work or of the idea they advocate. When the persons will speak lightly of the word of the Yeshua, and set their impressions, feelings, and exercises above the divine standard, we may know that they have no light in them. Obedience is a test of discipleship. It is the keeping of the commandments that proves the sincerity of our professions of love. When the doctrine we accept kills sin in the heart, purifies the soul from the defilement, bears fruit unto holiness, we may know that it is the truth of the Yahweh. When the benevolence, kindness, tender-heartedness, sympathy are manifest in our lives, when the joy of the right doing is in our hearts, when we exalt Yahshua and not itself, we may know that our faith in the blood of Yahshua is of the right order. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Alright. For the mighty Esau's and the unpretentious Jacob's, V.T. Harlow, June the 14th, 1947, we are to read the 66th chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter, the Yahshua speaks unto two groups of the servants up to the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, that would be Esau's and Jacob's, and that would be at Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003, to the judgment for the living, the purification of the church, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80, for the time in which they are found smiting their fellow servants, eating and drinking with the drunken, the other servants are the servants thereafter. To hear what the Yahshua has to say unto his former servants, as the time of their cleansing approaches, we shall begin the study with the first two verses of the chapter. Isaiah 66:1-2. Thus saith the Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build under me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Yahshua, son of Yahweh. Saith to Yahweh, the father of Yahshua, and unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. By saying, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, the Yahweh actually says that he has not forsaken the earth, that though the throne is in heaven, his feet are still on earth, that he is still interested in his people. But the question, where is the house that you build under me? And where is the place of my rest? Sadly revealed that the work has been neglected, that neither a house nor a place of the rest has been prepared for the Yahweh. For the Yahweh's next statement, a further confirmed. Actually, this is talking about the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. It says, the question, where is the house that you build under me? Yahshua is asking this question, the son of Yahweh. And he's asking, and where is the place of my rest? Sadly revealed that the work has been neglected, that neither a house nor a place of rest has been prepared for him. For the Yahshua's next statement further confirms this fact. For he reiterates that the things which he found were only those things which always were, and which his own hand and not the hand of his servants had made. Then by saying, but unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my words. For he positively makes known that his unfaithful servants are discharged from his work, that others poor and of a contrite spirit, they tremble at his words, have taken the person that what the former servants have failed to do, the latter will do. At the same time, the charges that the former servants they feel rich in the spirit and in the need of nothing more, that they do not appear his word. Since the servants here are to build him a house and to make a place for his rest, and unto the men of a poor and a contrite spirit, men who tremble at his word, men who are not proud and boastful, but who are teachable and mindful of his word, men who are confident and see themselves in need of everything, instead of in need of nothing, finally, the Yahweh angrily declares, Isaiah 6:3-4, it's actually Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, angrily declares, in Isaiah 66:3-4, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, he that sacrifices a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered sponge blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Also will choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. No matter how good or how important the sacrifice may be, so long as we serve Him in our own way, our gifts and sacrifices are an abomination unto Him. Man's own ways must be abandoned, even though it be the hardest task to face, if he is to make peace with the love of the Father. There is no question but that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has now sent this warning message unto his unfaithful, self-important servant, so that he not and will not hear, having said that he wished to say unto them. He now turns to his newly hired servant, as it says 6,006. Hear the word of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hate you, that cast you out my name, says, let the Yahshua be glorified, that he shall appear under your joy, and they shall be ashamed. His voice of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the spirit that renders recompense unto his enemies. Some of all had the experience of being carried bodily out of the churches for no other reason than for the having read the ship of God, and for having said, I believe what it says. It is incredible that men should act like demons, but it is nevertheless so. And that fear himself testifies against a demon practice. We do not pity ourselves and are not at all angry at our adversaries, but we are sorry about the spiritual blindness, misery, poverty, and nakedness. For we know that the crowning joy is to be ours, and the sorrows and shame and gnashing of the teeth of theirs. This we know as verily as the Jacob knew that the Yahshua was with him in his flight from the face of Esau. For the Esau of the day, though, do not know this. No, they do not know it any more than Esau warned you of Jacob's night vision of the ladder that extended from heaven, and the Jacob do so is. If any part of the Bible is become present truth, as is 66:5, certainly is. Consequently, from the city there is a noise, and there is a voice from the temple against us, but the voice of Yahshua, the message of the day, is what counts, and what settles all things. Are you afraid of being cast out? Or are you trembling at the Yahshua's word? Now you have to make your choice against the opposition. If you expect to be in the Yashir's eternal kingdom. For a woman to be delivered of a child before she travails and before her pain comes is an incredible thing. For a miracle, and that is just what happened, and here the church, when Yahshua was born in the manger of Bethlehem, so Yahshua knew not her visitation, or the church, the Pharisees at the cross, they knew not her visitation, and though she felt no need of a Savior, not yet she brought forth the child, but according unto the verse that follows, the church in this day shall experience even a greater miracle than did the church in Yahshua's day, Isaiah 66:8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as the Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. For the church is now filled with the terror, with the bad fish and with the good. It is hard to find the saint. She is nevertheless all at once to bring a multitude of converts, which no man can number. For the denomination does not believe this, no more than the Jews believe that the Savior was born in the manger, not any more than did they expect the fishermen of Galilee to take the places of the pious priests and of the exalted religious leaders of that day, and no more than did they expect the Gentiles to share in the promises of Israel. For the denomination of the day also thinks that tomorrow is to be as today, that the Yahshua has left men forever to do as they please. She does not know that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has taken the reins in his own hands. Testimony mentions that page 300. She still thinks that she is rich and increased with the good, present truth, and has need of nothing more. For the church will nevertheless see all the promises fulfilled. She will see that these scriptures are not in the Bible merely to fill space. As soon as she thus prevails and feels her need, just as soon will her court be filled with the saints and her work. Isaiah 66:9. Shall I bring to the birth and not come cause to bring forth? Saith the Yahweh, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith the Yahweh. Saith thou, Yahweh. Would the Yahweh have made these promises? If you were not able to fulfill them, this is the great question before you, before me, and would he start something if he cannot perform and finish? You must not lightly pass over these questions, for your answers will decide your destiny. Isaiah 66:10-14. Rejoice you with Jerusalem, and begetteth her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for his joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Let's see. For this saith Yahshua, behold, I will extend peace unto her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye sup. Ye shall be borne upon her side, and be dandled upon her knees. And the Jerusalem, and when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones, as one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. All flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Yahshua shall be known toward his servant, and his indignation toward his enemies. Here we are told that only those who mourn for Jerusalem, those who pray for the establishing of his atypical throne of the David and kingdom, are to rejoice with her. They and only they will profit from the abundance of her glory. None others will share her peace and her abundant glory. None others will be dandled upon her knees. For the sinner shall not be comforted in Jerusalem, and their lukewarmness will become red hot, and put them running to the hills and to the rocks of the mountains. Revelation 6:14-17. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, for the rendering of his anger with the fury, and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by the sword will Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahshua shall be many. For they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind the one tree, in the midst of eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith Yahshua. After Yahshua has done all he can there to direct the path of his servant, when there is no more remedy, just then divine retribution is to be meted out. Those who continue to walk in their own way will then find themselves in the wide path where there is no divine mercy, where the avenger of the justice takes his toll. They are those who sanctify and purify themselves in the garden behind the one tree, behind the leader. That is, they pretend to be very religious in their gathering places, trusting that the minister will lead them through into the kingdom, for they indulge in the use of the forbidden meats, and at the same time boastingly pretend to be sanctified and purified. Unto the Yahshua, however, they appear as the whitewashed sepulchres, full of the rotten flesh, as the cups that are clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. Isaiah 66:18-19. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal, and Avan, and unto the isle of the Far, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. What the Yahshua is about to do is not to be done in the secret. It is not an imaginary thing, not something enshrouded in the mystic to be just yet. But it is a plain and open act before all the nations. Now, unto their own destruction, men argue that this is a spiritual slaughter. What is a spiritual slaughter? No one knows, although it is plain to see that it is the judgment for the living, the fact that for over a century, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has been teaching that the judgment for the dead is to separate the good from the bad, the terrorists from the weak. The foolish arguments now prove that they are not only ignorant of it, but even so blind. Revelation 3:17, that even after told and shown what it is, they cannot see it, although they came to know that the judgment is to separate the wheat from the tares, the good from the bad, that it is to cleanse the sanctuary by the blotting out of the lens of the bad and the sins of the good. They do not admit such a strange act of the Yahshua is nothing less than the judgment for the living in the house of Yahweh, verse 3 to 4:17. The cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the purification of the church, testimony of Ryan Christ, page 80, the cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3. No longer try to control yourself. The sort of Yahshua is something imaginary, or that it takes place after the close of salvation. No longer try to control yourself at this sort of the Yahshua is something imaginary, or that it takes place after the close of salvation. Now get ready, lest you fall, let no man divert your attention from it. For the verse we just read explains that those who escape the Yahshua's sword will he send to the Gentiles unto those who have not heard his fame or seen his glory, and they shall declare his glory among the Gentiles. He shall bring into the house of the Yahshua all who will be saved. Here, let us read the Yahshua's exact words. Isaiah 66:20-21. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, unto my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Yahshua. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahshua, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith Yahshua. Now, in the view of the fact that those who escape the slaughter of the Yahshua are sent as missionaries, preachers, and ministers unto all the nations and peoples who as yet know not the Yahshua and his gospel, there is but this conclusion, that the slaughter takes place only among Yahweh's people, that it is a judgment for the living in the house of the Yahshua, 1 Peter 4:17, the shepherds are slain because they have kept the sheep away from the Yahshua's green pasture, present truth, that the faithful laity take their places, that then the church, bright as the sun, fair as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners, goes forth unto all the world, conquering and to conquer. This is the gospel work finished, and the wicked world brought to an end. Only those who have withstood temptation to the strength of the mighty one will be permitted to for the action of a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it shall have spoken to the large tribe. If you inhale on November 19, 1908, we have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christians. But this is not the case, for Yahshua has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace, for Yahshua will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be able to measure the strength of the Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80, Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and new earth which I will make shall remain before me, as saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. With this verse, inspiration now begins to disclose things which take place in the earth made new. Isaiah 66:23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship for me, saith Yahshua. Okay, let's go ahead. For the Sabbath, you see, is as eternal as the earth. It is to be kept not only now, but even after this sin-cursed earth is made new. And not only now, after Yahweh's people, to meet together in the house of Yahweh each Sabbath, that they shall joyfully continue to do so throughout eternity. Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the sarcophaguses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. Although the preceding verses of this chapter are not studied much by any, the last two have often been discussed and debated upon by many. To some, they mean that there is to be an eternal torment, that does the scriptures at all sustain such a thought. No, it does not, for the definition of the carcasses is lifeless bodies. And the prophet Malachi says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, and saith to Yahshua the host, that it shall have leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go have forth and grow up as the chaz of the star, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua the host, Malachi 4:1-3. For the carcasses at first, and the ashes at last of the unfaithful servants being under the feet of the saints, can hardly indicate that the unfaithful are pushed into hell fire, there to live forever. Moreover, since only the righteous are given eternal life, then the wicked must be given eternal death. Furthermore, second death, Revelation 20:14, cannot mean second life, for the theory of eternal torment has been superficially derived from the statement, their worm shall not die. The worm that gorges on their carcasses, though it cannot possibly mean the souls of the people, at least it cannot mean such to them who digs deep into the well of the salvation, and that can think and reason for himself. Such a one reads between the lines and notes the full value of each word. This worm means anything, then if worm means anything, let's do it again. For if the worm means anything, then it means that the worm thrives on the carcasses, that it is the agency which reduces the constituents of the carcasses unto their original elements. Indeed, the worm shall not die. It shall certainly accomplish its consuming work. The carcasses shall he bring down to dust. For dust thou art, says the scripture, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3:19. It is the disintegrating agency of the consuming worm that does not die. Moreover, we are told that the soul of sinners shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. It is plainly seen that the preaching of the eternal suffering in hell, far rather than eternal death, is prompted by the unscrupulous so-called soul winners, endeavoring to drive their audiences into the church by fright. But if they knew that only the born again, through the love of the truth, are given the right to enter into the holy city, if they knew that those who must be frightened and are excluded from it, if they knew that something which maketh a lie is also not given the right to enter therein, if they wholeheartedly knew all of these, they would perhaps stop preaching eternal life in the hellfire and begin to preach eternal love of the truth. Let us now close our study by the reading of the Exodus. Final plea. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Savior, Yahshua, doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his master cometh shall find so then. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all the good. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, Matthew 24:43-51. There is but one right choice for you to make, and that is to cease keeping company with the mighty Esau and to join the unpretentious truth-laden Jacob. Then the rest is this house.